May the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today is the fourth Sunday of Advent. The focus of the readings is Mary. That's why this Sunday is often called Mary Sunday. She's ready to give birth. It's obvious. It's time. The time of waiting is over. Our time of waiting is almost over too. Just 24 hours to go. So how has your Advent been these last 4 weeks? It only seems like an eon ago that we had Thanksgiving, and yet it's only been 4 weeks. When we began Advent, I mentioned how we might be able to focus on three facets of Advent. The first, preparing for the birth of Jesus as the Christ child who gives each of us eternal life. The second, the birth of Christ in each of us in an incarnational way, which allows us to carry the light of Christ inside ourselves and to our neighbor and to the world. And the third, perhaps the least examined during Advent, and not something we Episcopalians discuss very much, we also ponder Christ's return, or the second coming of Christ. We certainly know and understand the retelling of the story of Jesus' birth year after year, our first focus, and we also discuss often how to live out the second part of Advent, the carrying of light in each of us, and as the Virgin Mary carried the baby Jesus, to use a birthing image, how we are able to give birth to God each and every day in our lives as we go about loving God, loving our neighbor, and loving ourselves. But we also have the connection between Christmas and Easter, the third facet of Advent, the promised return of Christ one day, or the second coming of Christ. We cannot have Easter without Christmas. Easter has to begin somewhere, and so it begins with the birth of Christ. But we also understand that Christmas is not something by itself in a vacuum. It is intrinsically linked to Easter. And so as we cannot have Easter without Christmas, we cannot have Christmas without Easter. Advent is indeed a microcosm of our lives, perhaps more than any other liturgical season. This short four-week season is one of the most poignant and important ones, as it gives us a roadmap of our lives and our faith in all three facets of Advent. Professor H. Boone Porter, Jr., who taught church history at Neshota House Seminary in Wisconsin from 1954 to 1960, and who taught liturgics at my alma mater, the General Theological Seminary in New York City, from 1960 to 1970, wrote a great article about these three aspects of Advent that I just outlined. He reminds us as we wait in Advent, we are waiting for the day of the Lord's return. And this means recognizing that someone else is the prime mover or principal actor. It means admitting that we ourselves are in secondary roles, so secondary that we do not know the time schedule. It means living in patience and in hope. And so, my friends, we live in patience and in hope, not just during Advent, but for our entire lives. We live in patience and in hope until we draw our very last breath. And we also retell this concept of waiting every time we celebrate the Eucharist, the Holy Communion. So in prayer A, we recite, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. We recite the past, present, and the future. And our Eucharistic prayer today, prayer B, which is appropriate for the Advent, Christmas, and Epiphany cycle, we recite, we remember his death, We proclaim his resurrection. We await his coming in glory. And we hear a similar theme in Eucharistic Prayer C, sometimes called the Star Wars Prayer. We celebrate his death and resurrection as we await the day of his coming. Christ will come again. We await the day of his coming. And we await his coming in all its glory. There is the continued theme of waiting, of anticipation, which you can certainly see with children around this time of year. The theme of expectancy. And we, like Mary, are anticipating the birth of Christ, but also the cosmic return of Christ. And our fourth candle today, as I said, is the candle of promise. And we are promised Christ will be born tomorrow. And we are promised that Christ will return. Professor Porter concludes his article by writing, quote, "The theme of Advent will not go out of season until the Lord has in fact come. And our lives will continue to be in Advent in this sense." And so today we baptize Molly Ruth Sweezy, who's 5 months old. In all of Molly's life, just like her parents Amanda and Levi, and her godparents and grandparents, all of her life will continue to be living in Advent, a time of waiting, a time of patience. And we just prayed one of the most beautiful prayers in our collect, so I'd encourage you to take a look back at your bulletin, your insert, one of my favorite collects. "Purify our conscience, Almighty God, by your daily visitation, that your Son, Jesus Christ, that is coming, may find in us a mansion prepared for himself." Think about that. Purify our conscience, Almighty God, by your daily visitation. That Christ, when he comes again, may find in each of us a mansion prepared for him. We ready our mansion our whole lives for God to dwell in. We clean the house. We polish the silver. We bring out the best china. Hopefully it can go in the dishwasher. We get ready for Christmas. We get ready for Christ's Mass. We get ready for the living bread which came down from heaven. And so, like Mary in her song of praise in the Magnificat, I would encourage you to turn to that again, Canticle 15. And as we conclude, let us say again the first stanza of this beautiful song of praise as we walk with Mary these final 24 hours as she prepares to give birth to our Lord. Let us recite together. "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant." Amen.